2 as we keep moving along in our verse-by-verse study of this great book, so rich with the truths of God. We earlier were talking a lot about the blessings of believers, and then we've come to the duties of believers. Beginning at verse 11, it kind of shifts gears here. But we've come to verse 13 now, so 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 13, and follow along as I read through verse 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by, him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Honor the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time together in your word this morning. Thank you for the fellowship we can enjoy together through our time in Sunday school class and Bible study, time of singing, time of just getting to visit with one another. And we pray you'll bless our time now in the Word of God. May your name be exalted. I pray for your strength and help as I preach. And Lord, we thank you so much for the Word of God that is breathed out by God, given to men in order to reveal the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the way of salvation to us. You are so good to us, Lord, and for that we are so grateful. Bless our time now, and may we listen with a heart of joy and anticipation, and may you just have your way now in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You knew what you told. You knew what you're told. You obey that man. I don't want to hear any back talk or any sassy talk or anything like that. You do what you're told. You keep your hands where they can be seen. And you use your Sunday school manners when you are approached by authority. And you say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Now, that could be a mom of many moms who is giving her son or daughter some wise and biblical advice. You do what you're told and you obey those in authority over you. You don't give certain authorities a reason for, you don't give them a reason to arrest you for resisting arrest or disorderly conduct, and you'll be fine. As my mom used to say often, stay out of trouble, okay? Just stay out of trouble when I wouldn't leave the home. And I thought, well, I was going to go have fun. What do you mean stay out of trouble, right? But it's true. You go looking for trouble, and trouble will surely find you. You know, the Bible teaches clearly that I'm to put myself under authority. I am always under authority, but I don't always live like it, do I? Well, I speak for myself, and you know me, and you'd say, yeah, preacher, you're right. You don't always live like it. It's best and wisest to always put myself under authority, to willingly, gladly surrender my rights. But you know, that just kind of grates against my mentality of, I'm my own man, and I have my rights, and there ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Now, some people that have had that attitude now enjoy the freedom that extends from one wall of a prison cell to the other wall. Welcome home, son. The old quote or the old saying goes something like this. Your right to swing your arm ends where my nose begins. Your right to swing your arm ends where my nose begins. Well, we come now to a section in 1 Peter that begins a series of admonitions by Peter concerning submissiveness. We love the sound of that word, right? Submissiveness. This passage deals with the principle of submission and is laid out according to the roles that we fill. I'm talking about not just this passage we read, but the verses to follow as well. Citizens are to submit themselves to their governors, verse 14. Servants are to submit themselves to their masters, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 1, we see that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands. And chapter 3, verse 8 teaches us that Christians are to be submissive to one another. When it says being loving and compassionate, that's talking about giving something up and being submissive to the needs of the other. And of course, a great example that Peter lays out for us to consider is the submissiveness of Jesus Christ himself, no less, who submitted to the Father and submitted to suffering on our behalf, verses 21 to 25, which we will come to in a few weeks. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. In other words, Peter says, you want an example of being submissive? Look at the cross, and there you have it. It's very interesting to consider what verse 13 says. It might literally be translated this way, be subject to every human creature. Wow. I don't know if I like that translation, but it could be translated that way, and many think it should be. The word ordinance in the King James Version, which is also translated authority or institution in other translations, is a word that is translated creature in the other places where it is used. But here it's translated ordinance or authority. Thus, we can read, submit yourselves or be subject to every creature. One author said, Peter's not talking about submission to institutions, but submission to people. But to people, however, who have been given roles to fill in God's government. Our submission is to creatures of God made in his image. And every human being is a creature of God made in his image. Now, the context we can see includes kings and governors sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. And that's what our government is for, to protect us, to punish those who do evil, who do wrong. This would at least imply that the creature we're to submit to is a governmental authority. Institutions. Police officers. Do I dare say anything? Yeah, I got pulled over last night. Wasn't drinking. Wasn't smoking. I was going, the officer said, 43 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, right as I was turning to come to the church. I said, but officer, how dare you try to give me a ticket? You know, I was only going 43, and after all, I'm a pastor, and I was going to church. You can't do that. Is that what I said? No. He was very kind. He says, you know, you're going a little fast, need to slow it down. I had no idea what I was doing. But, and then he says, I'm going to give you a warning. And there isn't much traffic out here tonight, so I'm going to give you a warning. I'm like, okay, thank you. I was very kind to him. And that's what we knew when they pull us over. And maybe we'll get a warning. I don't know if I've ever gotten a warning before, but I was very thankful. And I think it's been 20, 25 years since I've been pulled over. So I looked, and there were those lights flashing, and I kept going, and I thought, you know, is that for me? And then he put his siren on. I thought, that's for me. You know, I thought, I better pull over. He's the authority. That's why I pulled over. He's the authority. He's the authority. When those lights go, you know, okay, I need to be submissive to him. So anyway, This is a creature we're to submit to, governmental authority, and institutions and the ordinances or laws of that institution. But institutions are made of people, aren't they? And Peter's not talking about just institutions, but submission to people who have been given roles to fill in God's appointed plan. Our submission is to creatures that God made in His image. And that helps me to realize that. After all, we're to show respect for everybody, right? Everybody? Well, verse 17 says, honor all men. What does honor mean? Honor means honor. Honor all men. We see them all as creatures of God to whom honor and respect are due. If we can see the lowliest of men and how they will be in glory if they're Christian, we might look differently upon them now. We don't worship men, though. Now, many have desired and even demanded worship over the centuries, but we honor them. We don't worship them, but we honor them. It was commanded that all men bow before Nebuchadnezzar and worship him. And what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They did not bow. They would not worship him. They would honor and respect him, but because they would not bow, they were cast into the fiery furnace. And God honored those three young men, didn't he? Many of the Caesars of Rome demanded worship, and they had their image engraved on the coins of their day. And we have those coins today. Some people have them in a collection. Christians, of course, refused to worship Caesar, and they were persecuted because of it. In the tribulation period, the unsaved, the Christ-rejecting world, will worship the beast, won't they? We read that in Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, in spite of Nebuchadnezzar's claim and the Caesar's claims, they are only human creatures, and they are not to be worshipped. Men tried to worship Paul and Silas or Peter, and they said, no, we are not gods. Worship the true God. We're just here with his message. We're his servants. We're just delivering a message. So they are not to be worshipped, but they are to be shown honor. We are to be submissive to them. And Peter here is telling his fellow believers and us that we should submit to the emperor. And those that, okay, who's our emperor? Our king? Donald Trump. Well, no, that's not right. No, he's our president. He's our president. So he's saying we should submit to those governing authorities that are appointed by God, as they are submit to authorities because of their relationship to God. For in obeying the government, they are carrying out the Lord's will. And by doing good in the eyes of the public, they will take away any claim that believers are practicing evil. As we look in chapter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Of course, our ultimate authority is much, much higher and more powerful than any government, because God reigns supreme over the most powerful government and nation. They are like a drop in the bucket to him. We are only to fear God, but at the same time, honor the king. There's a difference, isn't there? As well as all men, verse 17. And we obey human authority because it's the will of God. God wants you to obey human authority. That's why when the red lights go on or the blue and purple lights go on, you don't step on the gas, see if you can outrun that authority, do you? I find it fascinating that people are so stupid to think they can outrun a cop or cops, because one cop or one state trooper or one sheriff before long will turn into three or four or five or a dozen of them, right? And you're not, and then the helicopters come in, but people try to do it. But they're appointed by God. We don't obey out of fear of punishment, or we don't obey only when we think we might get caught. And sometimes we're guilty of that. Well, I'm going to obey because I've known I'm going to get caught, right? We obey because this is the will of God, verse 15. There is a submission that is due to every human being, the submission of respect and honor. I got to remember that. Respect and honor. We are to serve others. We are to go the second mile. We are to be willing to suffer injustice without demanding our rights, knowing that we have a better and enduring substance in heaven. See, we're just here temporarily anyway. We're all on our way to glory to the Supreme King. And God will make things right. And we dare not take matters of revenge into our own hands because of being treated unjustly personally. But I tell you, I'm like you. I want to get even, you know. I'm going to let them know what I think. Wait till I'm done writing this letter and then they'll know who they're messing with. No, we don't do that. Christ himself is a supreme example of submission and suffering, followed by exaltation and glory. Well, let's consider why we're to submit to authority, okay? Why we're to be submissive to those in authority over us. Why? Number one, because it's the command of God. We are to be submissive to those in authority over us. Number one, because it is the command of God. That's enough. God said it. God commanded it. I'll do it. Verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves. That's a command. To every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king and supreme or to governors, as unto them that are set by him. God sent them. God put them into their position for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. I may not like it. I may not want to. I may think I can legitimately refuse to do so. But the bottom line is God commands me to obey governmental authorities. Submit yourselves means just that. It means obey. Notice in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, how the word subjection slides into the word obey. In other words, they're synonymous. We're to willingly obey. Verse 5, holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Subjection, obey. They're synonymous. We willingly obey. The phrase submit yourselves is really a military expression. And it literally means to arrange in formation under the commander. The commander says line up, you line up in formation. Right? It means I place under, I subject to, I put myself in subjection. Now, does that mean we're to practice unquestioned obedience? No. Not at all. This command of God does not rule out exceptions. Remember when the apostles were arrested for preaching the gospel? They were brought before the council and the high priest. And in Acts 5:28, the high priest said, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the apostles answered, saying, we ought to obey God rather than men. They had a higher authority, you see. And when the law of man violates the law of God, then we must disobey the law of man, even though it may mean punishment by that government, imprisonment. We have seen examples of that in our own country in recent years. Cake makers, right? Christian cake makers being told that they must cater to so-called homosexual marriages. I say so-called because they aren't marriages. Which is a violation of God's word, and thus a violation of the sincerely held beliefs of Christians like the Christian bakers, or whoever it might be. So when authorities infringe upon God's lordship, they should be disobeyed if they demand that Christians act in some way that is contrary to God's revealed will. Now, we're to submit to every human institution, is how a couple of translations put it, or to every authority instituted among men. But it really means to every human creature, as I said before. We're to submit to every human creature whom God has put in their place over us. We're talking about being submissive to human beings or creation. Of course, the context narrows these human creatures to the king or to governors. And Peter is thinking of every governmental authority, not every single person in the world, okay? And the word creatures reminds us that they are, after all, just creatures. They are not gods, though some lived and accepted or demanded worship as if they were gods. They are created by God and put in their positions of authority by God. In fact, Romans 13:4, the other passage on obeying governmental authority says, "For he is the minister of God, or God's servant, to thee for good." God put him in his place for your good. Also, chapter 13 of Romans 1 and 2, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And all the powers that be are ordained of God. And so whoever resists the power resists the ordinance, the law of God." So when I disobey governmental authorities, just because I think I can get away with it or I don't like it, God says, you're disobeying me. When Peter says every creature or authority, he likely meant the Roman emperor of that day and governing authorities under the Roman emperor. It's a word king, and always translated king, but when this was written by Peter, there was an emperor in Rome, not a king. So Peter surely refers to the emperor. And you know what? Roman emperors were not known to be the most upright in morals and character, and yet they were still to be obeyed. We think sometimes our governmental authorities are rotten and evil and wicked. They don't come close to what the Roman emperor's lives were like. Verse 14 says that the governors are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. We Christians are to do well and live as good citizens and do what is honorable in the world's eyes. And obviously Peter is well aware that many governments and leaders are corrupt to the core and will not praise those who do well. In fact, governmental authorities were persecuting Christians no matter what they did. Example that comes to mind, the Old Testament, our Pharaoh of Egypt and Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The Caesars were involved in the persecution of New Testament Christians. Christ was condemned and murdered by Pontius Pilate. James was put to death by Herod Agrippa in Acts 12:2. But even the most oppressive and corrupt governments can hold evil in check to some extent, preventing society from collapsing into complete anarchy. Now, even though both Peter and Paul, Romans 13, lived in the openly sinful, decadent Roman Empire where there was corruption, there was abuse of women, there was pedophilia, there was immorality of all kinds, including homosexuality and violence in the highest places, neither of the apostles, Peter or Paul, offered an exemption to where believers were free to disobey and defy governmental authority. Even Christ said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's," Matthew 22:21. Tiberius Caesar, who reigned during the time of Christ, he was a sexual pervert of the worst kind. His immorality was unbelievably corrupt and bad. Nero, during the time of Peter and Paul, was wicked, wicked, wicked. Quote, his life was characterized by debauchery, violence, and extravagance. And this is, comes from the Roman writers of that era. He was so wicked, he had his own mother killed. For amusement, just for fun, Nero would have, would clothe Christians in the hides of beasts, and they would be torn to death then by dogs. Others were crucified. Others were set on fire to illuminate the night in Nero's garden. That comes from the Roman historian Tacitus, who wrote, lived during AD 16 to 120. Notice, all forms of governments are filled with evil because they are led by fallen sinners. All our governmental authorities are sinners. So it's no wonder we have corruption. But all authority is from God, though the individual rulers may be godless. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Notice that this command of the Lord is to be obeyed for the Lord's sake, we read. For the Lord's sake. We obey authorities because we honor God by that obedience. We honor and recognize God's sovereignty over all nations and rulers. Psalm 2, verse 8. Psalm 9, verse 20. We submit to follow Christ's example of obedient submission to his Father. Christ obeyed the Father, and he did not revile when he was reviled. And as corrupt as Roman rule was, Christ never opposed their right to rule. Never opposed. According to the historian Eusebius, that Nero beheaded Paul, and he had Peter crucified. And many believe he was crucified upside down. Good old Nero did that. But as corrupt as Roman rule was, Christ never opposed their right to rule. He denounced the sins of the Jewish spiritual leaders, but he never tried to overthrow them. He never led a demonstration. He never led a protest against unjust Roman slavery. He never took part in acts of civil disobedience. He didn't even offer protests when authorities unjustly tried him and crucified him. Matthew 26, 62. He always kept his focus on matters related to his kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, 17. Mark 1, 15. And our desire should be to live in such an exemplary way that when it comes to a relationship with our government, that the unsaved world associates you and me with virtue and graciousness, love and righteousness, that we might be able to be a shining light to those groping in darkness. And they're all around, aren't they? We're to be submissive to those in authority over us. Number one, because it's a command of God. Number two, because it's the will of God. Verse 15, because it's the will of God. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It's the will of God to do well, isn't it? Do well and you do his will. Concerning our relationship to authority. Because it silences the ignorant and foolish men. Silence here means to muzzle. The idea of gagging and stopping someone's mouth so that they can't respond. So by our godly living, we muzzle the words of the ignorant. The ignorant here means a willful, hostile rejection of the truth. It's foolish, senseless, and without reason. It's insane, the words of foolish men. Someone said, integrity, impeccable moral fiber, and purity of life are all effective character tools to muzzle the enemies of the Christians. Paul commanded Titus to tell this to new believers in Crete. He said in Titus 3, 1 through 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but to be gentle, showing meekness to all men. Be meek, be obedient, obey. Titus 3, 1 and 2. By submitting to government, Christians show that they are good citizens. They are good citizens and not anarchists or rabble-rousers. Thus they snuff, the idea here is they snuff the criticisms of those who are ignorant and revile them. They are foolish because they don't honor the Lord. They don't fear him. Okay, so we're to be submissive because it's a command of God. Secondly, because it's the will of God. Thirdly, because we are the servants of God. Verse 16, because we are the servants of God. As free and not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. That's why we do it. We're just serving God. What a joy to be able to do all this in the service of God. I obey governmental authorities because in doing that, I'm serving God. I obey my boss at work and I respect him and I honor him or her because they are the servants of God. I obey my husband because I'm serving God. I obey my mom and dad because I'm serving God. I'm a servant of God in that. We've got to have the right attitude of submissiveness, not just the right actions. And so we realize that as submissive citizens, we are free in Christ. We are free to live as free men, and we're free from the bondage of sin as a result of the redemption we have in Christ. And we are free from sin's condemnation and Satan's bondage and the world's control. And we're free then to be in submission to authority. We're free to do that. We have the liberty. We choose to willingly be submissive. But we're warned here not to use that freedom as a cloak or covering of maliciousness or evil. We have no malice toward anyone, even though we may think we have reason to get revenge. You see, we may be treated unjustly, unfairly by someone, but we use our freedom to be slaves of God. That's how we show submissiveness to others. We're to be submissive to those in authority over us. Number one, because it's a command of God. Number two, because it's the will of God. Number three, because we're servants of God. And lastly, because we fear God. Verse 17, we do it because we fear God. We see four admonitions here, but clearly the key and most important one is the command to fear God. If I fear God as I should, everything else will fall in its proper place. If we truly fear God, reverence God, then we'll be able to honor, submit to others. First, he says, honor all men. Honor all men. The fear of God will bring me to be submissive to others in the sense of being able to honor them. Everyone is created in God's image and is due some degree of respect and honor. And that's hard. It's hard to swallow our pride. It's hard to do that. But it's right. Doesn't mean we agree with them. Doesn't mean we don't even go to them and tell them we don't agree with them. But we respect them. We honor them. We don't discriminate anyone based on race or nationality or economic status. Romans 2, 11. Ephesians 6, 8 and 9. James chapter 2. That doesn't mean we tolerate any kind of behavior, but we can still show proper respect, realizing they're made in the image of God. And it begins in the house of God. It begins in the church. It begins in the home, respecting one another as family members, as fellow Christians, and then out in society around us. So number one here, honor all men. Number two, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. There are ample examples, commands that clearly teach us to love our fellow believers. John 13, 34, Jesus himself said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So honor all men, love the brotherhood. Thirdly, fear God. Fear God. Reverence is the idea, but also means be terrified. Be terrified of this awesome, holy God, not only of love and mercy and grace, but of wrath. I fear him. We fear God in that we dare not disregard his person or his commands. How's it going in your life? Are you regarding him, honoring him, loving him, respecting him, praying to him, bowing before him? We live in trust in him and total dependence upon him. We worship him, for he's our sovereign king. So we have no problem submitting to earthly authority because we fear and respect the one who has commanded us to do so. And then finally, honor the king. Honor the king. Wow. Yeah, honor the king. Now, we don't have a king. We have leaders, though, and I'm to honor them. Our president today is Donald Trump. There's a host, there's a big swath of this nation that does not honor him. They totally disrespect him. I call him every name under the sun. Of course, he dishes it back to him. They hold up a fake severed head of our president. That's not honoring God, but how respectful are we to presidents who are in office when we don't agree with them? How respectful were we to President Barack Obama? I believe many of us Christians were guilty of not obeying that, going on back to others, you know, President Reagan, President Bill Clinton, George H.W., you know, on and on and on. I'm to honor the king, submitting to authority, including the king, and now we're to honor. Submissiveness honors him, and it honors our Lord, who instituted it all. We should desire to be model citizens, model examples of humble, loving, and trusting Christians. And thus we can be a witness by our excellent behavior. Someone called this evangelistic citizenship. Evangelistic citizenship. And that's what we see in Matthew 5. And I close with this. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, including honoring authority, submissive to authority, and thus glorify your Father which is in heaven. May God help us and give us grace to be submissive to authority, whoever that authority is. Again, whether in the home, whether at work, whether in school, whether on the highway, whether in governmental office, whatever form that may be, God help us to honor God through that. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I know what we looked at this morning was more on the practical aspect of how we're to live. But what a blessing to see that as we do that, and sometimes as we do what we're just not prone to do because of our sinful nature, that by doing so, we honor you, we please you, and that's wonderful, Lord. Thank you for giving us that truth, that we, by honoring others, can bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you, Lord, for your being in control. You're the one that gives us our authority. You're the one that puts men and women in places of leadership. And in your hand is the heart of the king. And as rivers of water, you turn it however you will. And we thank you, Lord, that they are under your authority. And they will answer to you to how they govern. So help us, Lord. Help us to have a submissive attitude in our heart of following others, following you, and giving honor to those to whom honor is due. Bless now as we close. May we above all be submissive and come to you as our great King and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.